You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to be separated. Different. Well, here's a message from Pastor James Strickland about spiritual separation. We'd love to have you come join us. Our services are on Sunday at 10:45 right now. You can get directions on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. If you don't feel like it, join us on Facebook. We live stream our services, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
You're hearing a lot today about separation of church and state. And rightfully so. Our nation was set up to where church should not be interfered with by the government. And we don't try to run the government either. We try to rule people's lives by the precious Holy Spirit of God. But how much do you hear today preached or taught about the separation of Christians from the world? We need a good fresh dose of separation from the world, don't we? And God's given us a message about that. So turn with me, please, in your New Testament, the book of Titus. It's a little small book just prior to the book of Hebrews. If you're unfamiliar, look in the, kind of toward the back and go left, and you'll find Hebrews, and you'll find Titus right there close by. In the book of Titus, chapter number 2, I'm going to read verses 11 through 14 and preach about today spiritual separation. Spiritual separation. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 through verse number 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now we know in other places Paul has written that God says to us, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we are commanded to be separate from the world's people. Not better than anybody else, not spiritual bigots, but we are to be distinctly different from the population, general population of the world. Now, Titus just affirms this truth, and he affirms it with authority in talking about spiritual separation. Now, since we are commanded by the Lord to be separate people as Christians, and since Titus was convinced, and I'm convinced, that we ought to speak about this and preach about this and teach this to God's children all along the way, that we are supposed to be separate, distinctly different from the world's people. Separated Christians ought to be Christians living for Jesus 100%. Now, why is it that many Christians who profess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why is it many Christians are not living that separated life that the Scriptures command us to live and we're taught to live? Is it that pastors have failed in our responsibility to teach the children of God? Is it that church members have never heard it spoken, never heard it preached about, never had it taught to them? Or is it that we have heard it preached and taught and we're just not doing what it is that we've been taught and preached about to do? And is biblical separation just an Old Testament theory? Was it just for Old Testament times and not good for today? So many people think today the Old Testament entirely is not even relevant for today. But I want to tell you, the whole total Word of God is relevant for then, for now, and forever. If biblical separation was relevant in the Old Testament, then it's relevant for today. If it was applied in the Old Testament, it needs to be applied today. If it was expected in the Old Testament, it's expected today, is it not? You see, God's Word is ageless. God's Word is timeless. It's just as much true in these days as it was in the old days. It's just as much to be applied to your life and mine today as it was the Old Testament saints of days gone by. It's expected of us, it's commanded of us today to live that separate life just as it was in days of old. It's because many Christians do not live a good, separated spiritual life that the church of today has as little power as it has. It's our fault. We can't lay the blame at anybody else's feet. It's our fault and ours alone. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to live a separated life? Would you like to know how to live a separated life as a Christian? And if you were taught and shown how to live a separated life, would you make a personal commitment to attempt with God's help to live that kind of life if you knew how? And you made a personal commitment so to live. Living a separate life, listen to me, is within your potential. If we go about it God's way and not our way. Now listen, nothing I know of will bring a revival to an individual or revival to a church any more than Christians living a separated, godly life. Now, as I look at this message with you, I want you to remember four words, and I'm going to develop thoughts on those four words. The word grace, as Amanda has sung about, the word word, the word hope, and the word work. Those four words. I want to explore those thoughts from this passage of Scripture and let you see how Titus speaks about those things and us living a separated life. First of all, the grace of God brings us a possibility of separation because it's appearing. Let me say that again. The grace of God brings the possibility of living a separated life because of the grace of God appearing. Listen to what it says in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It is impossible to live the separated Christian life apart from the grace of God. Of course, God knows this a lot better than we do. That's why the grace of God, it says here, appeared in Christ Jesus. Grace came to us by and through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It was God's purpose through His marvelous grace to save humanity. But that process came very slowly. And the greatest act known to mankind was the grace of God in Jesus Christ when Jesus was born in the flesh. We're too slow sometimes to believe the fact that Jesus Christ came and died to save all the world, not just Baptists or Presbyterians or Methodists. He came to save all of us, every single one of us. Notice it says in this verse that grace appeared in Christ Jesus. It appeared by and through Christ and Christ alone. It was applied to us in salvation. Go back and look at your life. Think about your life. When you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and repented of your sins and asked Jesus to save you, the grace of God had just appeared to you and then it was applied to you unto salvation because the Bible teaches us, by grace are you saved through faith. Now, when grace appears to our life and grace is applied to my lives, to my life and yours, it makes a possibility that you can then say no to sin. You can then say no to trials and temptations that you face on a daily basis. Notice this passage again. It says the grace of God appeared unto all men. All persons can have the grace of God applied to their lives. It's appeared to all individuals. I want to ask you something. Have you received that grace, that saving grace? Has it appeared to you? Has it been applied to your life? Have you experienced it in your life? Has that grace been applied to you? It needs to be. Every time you overcome a temptation you face, every time you have victory over a trial that you face in your life, every time you have success over sin in your life, whatever it may be, it's the grace of God at work. Without the grace of God, you'll not have the possibility, you see, to have victory and to live that separated life. By grace are you saved. It saves us. But it sustains us on a day-by-day basis. So you see, the possibility of even living a separated life is available to you and to me. Don't think, well, that's just for super Christian people. That's for preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and music directors and special people in the church. No, no, no. Listen, a separated life is possible for you. Don't think you cannot live the separated Christian life. You can. The grace of God makes it possible through the appearing of it in your life and being applied to your life that you can live the separated life. There's an ample supply of grace. I can promise you that. What we need to do is just draw from that grace, don't we? So you see that first word, grace? Grace brings a possibility of living a separated life through its appearing through Christ Jesus. But look at that second word, the word word here. Look at verse 12. It says, the grace has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Say, well, preacher, you didn't ever read that. You can't live God in this present world. Oh, yes, you can. Grace of God makes it possible to live a separate life. Well, then the Word of God, you see, brings a potential to live a separated life by teaching us from the blessed Word of God. Let me ask you a question. How would you know how to live the Christian life? How would you know how to live a disciplined life? How would you know how to live the separated life were it not for the blessed Word of God teaching us between the first and second coming of the Lord? How in the world would you ever know how to live that kind of life were it not for the Word of God? That's why you can't get too much of the Word of God. You can't go to seed on the Word of God. You can't overdose on the Word of God. The Word of God, you see, brings the potential to live that separated life through its teaching. Now listen, the Word of God here in this verse teaches us to deny the things of this world. Ungodliness, you see that? Worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, the grace of God brings a possibility of living that separated life. The Word of God brings a potential to live that separated life through its teaching every day. It teaches us self-denial and self-discipline. I might have said earlier, and I'll say it again, and probably say it many more times down the road, that the hardest person in the world to say no to is yourself. We can always find an excuse or a reason to say no to somebody else. But when it comes down to you and to me, in the deepest of our hearts, it's hard to say no to yourself. It's hard to deny self. It's hard to discipline self. And if it were not for the Word of God, we would certainly fail, wouldn't we? Indeed, we would. The Word of God teaches us, giving us a potential to live the separated life. The Word of God here in this verse teaches us, as Christians, we're to live morally separated from the world. We're to live physically separated from the world. We're to live sexually separated from the world. We're to live mentally separated from the world. And spiritually, certainly, we're to be separated from the world in all of our lifestyles and discipline, are we not? Now, you can't do this on your own. You can't make it happen in your own self-will, in your own self-determination. You can't do it. So why can't you, preacher? I'll tell you why you can't. We live in a world, and it says in this present world, what is this present world you and I are living in day by day? Look at it. Here is the accepted standard for today, sin. Do anything you want, with any way you want, anybody you want, anytime you want. If it feels good, you go ahead and do it. You see, sin's on daily display all around our world today. This present world in which we live will take the grace of God and the Word of God to help you, give you the potential and the possibility to live that separated life. Listen, it's a must for Christians. You've got to live that separated life. Why, preacher? I'll tell you why. The separated Christian godly lifestyle should come as a reproof and a rebuke to the world, this present world in which you and I live. If anything is needed more than living a separated life today, I don't know what it might be, is to see God's people living godly lives, separated lives, and when you do, here's what will happen. Jesus said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Living above this world's standards is only achievable by the grace of God and the Word of God. Is it possible to live like this? Why should I live like this? Give me a good reason why, Pastor, that I ought to live like this. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What is that saying? It's the Word of God that teaches us, gives us, first of all, spiritual illumination. See where you're going. It gives us spiritual direction to know how to get where you need to be and to live like you ought to live. Well, the Bible says that we should live a separated life. That means we can. If we should, it means that we can, doesn't it? It's within our potential to live a separated life, isn't it? You hear a lot about today, too. People need to start learning to live within their means. I agree, 100%. Our nation ought to start living there to start with. Individuals ought to live there, too, shouldn't we? Live within their means. Well, let me ask you this. When are we going to start living within our potential as Christians? It's just as important, maybe more so, than living within financial means. Living within spiritual means is much more important than living within financial means. Are you living there within your potential? The Word of God says we should. God says you can. Are we? Look at your own life. Are you? You're hearing it preached about today. You're hearing about it explained today. Here's the question. What are you going to do about what you're hearing today from this moment forward? We've got to do something about what we hear. We're being taught from the Word of God. See, the Word of God teaches us, brings us the potential to live the separated life by teaching us. If we have ears to hear, the Bible says, let him hear. I said there are four words I'm going to look at today. Grace brings the very, very possibility of living the separated life. Word brings the potential for living the separated life by its teaching. Now, the third word is the word hope. Look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we not taught by the Apostle Peter that we are to be constantly ready to give an answer to any of those or all of those who ask us about this hope that we have within us? The hope I have within me is because of the grace of God appearing to me in Jesus Christ, because of the Word of God teaching me how to live a Christian life. Because of Jesus being born of a virgin, living a sinless, perfect life in this world, going to a cross and dying for my sins and yours, and being buried and raising again the third day and ascending back into heaven, and with the assurance that He's going to come again, that is my hope. My hope is linked as much in His second coming as it was His first coming. Just as sure and secure as we all know it's a fact of history, our Lord Jesus came in the flesh by the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Spirit of God. He lived that sinless, perfect life, went back to heaven, and He's going to come again. It's just as secure as it possibly can be. Don't have to be worrying about those things. That hope is sure. It's secure as His first coming. Well, we need to share this hope with other people. Do you know most of this world has no hope? I see on TV from time to time little clips and articles about, whoa, we need hope for these days. Oh, we've got to have hope. Well, you do. The Bible also teaches us hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever hope for something, had your heart's desire on something to either to have or to possess or something to take place or something to happen that you wanted to see so dearly that you could almost taste it and then all of a sudden it didn't happen? Do you remember that sick, hollow feeling you had in your heart and life when your hopes were deferred? Well, I want to tell you something. Your hope in Christ's coming is not going to be deferred. He's going to come. It's an assurance. The hope in God brings a prospect of living a separated life in our looking for Him. Well, we need to live a separated life because it says in the Bible also that when He comes, not if He comes, but when He comes, that we won't be ashamed of Him when He comes. Now, don't misunderstand the Scriptures. It doesn't mean being ashamed of Jesus. We're never to be ashamed of Jesus. And when He comes in the clouds of glory and all the holy angels, we're certainly not going to be ashamed of Him. What then does the Scriptures mean when it says we'll not be ashamed of Him at His coming? It means that I'm going to be ashamed and you're going to be ashamed. We're all going to be ashamed of the lives we have maybe been living or are living at the present when Jesus Christ comes. Listen to me. If He were to split the eastern skies the next moment and come right now, would you be ashamed of yourself? Would you be ashamed of the way you're living? If Jesus were to come right now, it's something really serious to think about, isn't it? In fact, are you looking for Jesus to come? Do you even believe He's going to come in your lifetime? A lot of folks think, well, He's going to come, but He's going to come 1,000 years from now or sometime after I'm already dead and gone. Are you looking for Him? Are you longing for Him? The Bible teaches us that there's a crown to be presented to those, all those who love His appearing. Are you loving His appearing? Are you longing for His appearing? Are you looking for His appearing? If you are, then that hope of His appearing will bring you the potential, the prospect of living a separated life. That means I want to live the best I can. Jesus always said, Father, I always do the things that please You. What should be said of us? Father, we ought to do the things that please You. Not please me, but please You. So that men may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. So you see that third word, hope. Hope brings a prospect of living a separated life. Well, there's a fourth word, the word grace, the word, the word hope, and the word work. Look at that verse 14. Look what Paul writes here. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. The reason God saved you, the reason God saves us, is to, of course, first of all, redeem us from all iniquity, from our sins, and from the bondage and domination of sin in our lives. But he also saves us to deliver us from the very potential of sin. Listen, for this to be accomplished in my life and yours, it's going to take the grace of God, the work of God, the Word of God, and the hope of God. It'll take all these things completely joined together to live the separated Christian life. For this to be possible in your life and mine, Jesus had to go to the cross and shed His blood and die. And God applying that marvelous grace to your life and mine, and giving us His Word to teach us, giving us in the inner self that hope we know is going to be secure, and then the works will then come. A person can never work their way into heaven. It's not possible. You get to heaven, like Revelation says, John said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What does that mean? It means when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, my works here will follow me. I'm going to be in heaven not because of my works, but my works are going to come after me. So you don't get to heaven by works. You get to heaven by the grace of God. Amen. The work that's to be produced and to live a separated life. Listen to that verse one more time. Who gave himself, Jesus gave himself, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Did you see that word zealous in there? We don't use that word too much today, but it's a good word, good Bible word. What does zealous mean? When it talks about those being zealous of doing good work, it means if you're zealous, you're energetic, you're excited, you're ready to do good works. The greatest gift God ever gave us is grace in His Son. Of course it is. The greatest gift ever received by mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God. What's the result of all this that Jesus did on the cross for us? What should be the result of all these things in a Christian's life? A good, separated Christian life. Zealous, a person, people, zealous, excited about producing good works for the glory of God. It takes a disciplined life to do that. It takes a dedicated life to do that. It takes a determined life to do that, to live a godly lifestyle in this present world when sin is on daily display everywhere you go. Every time you open up your eyes in the morning, it's there. We're expected, we're commanded to live a separated life in this world of evil and to do, at the same time, godly works. Paul says he's producing a people zealous about good works. Glad to do it. Be excited about it. Be prepared to do it. Involved in it. Doing good works for Jesus in these last days. They're eager to do what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God in Christ. Only the grace of God and the Word of God and the hope of God and the work of God can produce that kind of life. It was said again of Jesus, he said, I always do those things that please my Father. Can it be said of us? You suppose it will be said of us one day when we stand before God? Could it be said of us that we too did good works? And the world observed our good works, and they gave glory to God our Father for the separated lives that Christians live. It's a most important doctrine for the church today, because we're going to live some days to come. They're going to get a lot more difficult than days that have gone by. I think you understand that. I think you realize that. And it's going to take separated lives, different lifestyles that really people can see. I believe some people are really longing and yearning for a better kind of life, but they don't know where to get it. They don't know it's not involved in government. It's not involved in stimulus packages. It's not involved in making all the money you can, being as prosperous as you can, stepping on the head of your fellow man trying to get to the top of the ladder. It's none of all those things. It's only found in Jesus Christ. It's going to take the church humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time, casting all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. And you're going to see how much He cares for us in the days to come. I'm going to do some preaching sometime real soon about these events going on today and events down the road. But I want to promise you in advance, listen to me. If the foundation's secure, the building's going to last. You got to build the foundation on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Amen. That kind of life will survive. That kind of life will be victorious. I want to close and ask you, are you living that kind of life? Would you really in the deep of your soul have to admit to yourself, I'd like to live like that. I'd like to live a life that pleases Jesus. I'd like to do those good works that Paul talked about. Be eager to do good things for God. I'd like to live like that, but I know I'm not living that way. I know I'm a failure. And oh, I think I can't live that kind of life. Oh, yes, you can. Because Titus told us, by the grace of God and the Word of God, with the hope of God, the work of God can be done. You can live that kind of life. It's within your potential. It's within your possibility. But listen, beloved, we've got to do it God's way. Not my way, not your way, not even the church's way sometimes, but God's way. I want to ask you in closing, if that would be your desire to live that kind of life, and you'd make a personal commitment, not to the preacher, not to the church, anybody else, not to your family, anybody else, a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you set the example for us to live a separated life. And I want to live that kind of life. I desire deeply in my heart to live like that. And I want you to help me. And I promise you today from this time forward, I'm going to attempt to live that life by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want you to make that commitment today, not to anybody but the Lord. Then too, those who may be viewing, anybody else who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the grace of God has already been appearing to us for many, many hundred thousands of years. It's been applied. There's a well so deep of grace that you'll never get to the bottom. God's grace is super abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So if you today feel such a failure, go to that well. Draw from that grace. Listen to the Word. Give your heart to Jesus. And I promise you, He'll save you. I promise you, He'll enable you to live that kind of life. So long as you stand upon the foundation, the building will be secure. Let us pray. And Lord Jesus, I pray today, first of all, for those who may be listening, those who may be viewing, if there's one or more persons who realizes that lifestyle is so foreign to me, I know nothing about it. I pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit of God, through that marvelous grace, that wooing, drawing grace, would draw that person or persons to you. And they would admit that they know nothing about that kind of life, and they can't live that kind of life, and they can't without you. So they'd come to you and yield to you today and say, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a failure, and I can't live like this. But Lord, you said I could, and you've made it possible that I could live that way through Christ. And so I'm coming to Jesus today to give you my life, my all, my heart. And I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And I'll live for you till I see you face to face one day, and He'll save you. Then, Lord Jesus, for we that know you, we know we've all been failures in many respects to live the separated life like we should. But Lord, you've left us here as an example. You are our example to all things, and we're to follow your example in living a separated life. And I pray if there's a Christian who hears us or views us, would be honest in his or her heart and say, I want to live like that. I dearly want to live that way. Help me, Lord Jesus, today. Forgive me and cleanse me afresh. And He'll do that for you too. And then, Lord Jesus, one day you'll get all the honor and glory which is due to you, because that's why we do it. We're zealous of good works, Lord, to glorify you in this life and forevermore. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today.
Well, I guess the question is, what are you going to do? That was a message from Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Now, if you'd like to join us for live services, we are open on Sundays at 10:45. We also live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.